Hello, Tom.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Choose a post-game reaction that best suits your mood and way of thinking. A win is a win is a win in the National Football League. It's all good. Or we beat the Colts. Yeah, but.
Well, you know, I've been around long enough to know that a win is a win is a win.
Yeah.
So, God, you come off still going, man, we played great. How did we lose that game? You know, I'd rather say, you know, I'm glad we won. Let's figure out how to do some things better. So, you know, it was a great game. It was a, you know, a classic game. I mean, they have such a good team. And it's such an explosive offense, an explosive defense, you know, with those guys, with their two defensive ends. So, you know, we all in the locker room felt, you know, we were very excited we won. You know, we've had a tough stretch here, you know, playing a bunch of really good teams. So, and now we got a short week against, you know, a team that had probably a huge advantage on us in playing on Thursday. So, it was a great win for us. There's no doubt about it. You know, I certainly wish we'd have finished them off there like, you know, I think we're capable. But, you know, we just got to do a better job of that.
Tom, in your post-game comments, you talked about execution being the problem on some of those third and whatevers in the second half. But I'm wondering, does the play calling change in terms of its philosophy in the second half when you're leading a team 31-14? Or is your distribution of the ball, run versus pass, pretty much the same philosophically as it was in the first half?
Well, I mean, I think you try to do a few things differently. I mean, I think play calling was great. I mean, I don't think we're, you know, the first drive of the game, you know, we tried to throw a play action, or in the first drive of the second half, you know, we tried to throw a play action pass, and Freeney made a great play on a spin move and sacked us to get us into really long yardage. And so we punted there. The next drive, we scored a touchdown. Next drive, you know, we got down there, third down inside the five. You know, and couldn't connect on the one that could have been a touchdown. Then we had a third down to our best put. You know, to one of our best receivers, to Deion, which you know it looked like there was maybe some contact there. That you know, hey, we didn't get the call, and then you know, we had one other third down. So ultimately, it comes down to execution on third down. That's why you stay on the field. That's why you end up getting the ball in the end zone. So you know, I don't think it had anything to do with play calling. I thought it had to do with execution. And that's doing a better job of executing out there in those tight situations.
You obviously, the offensive line has obviously done a great job. I believe it's one sack in the last 2 weeks. I was saying earlier, Tom, we never heard Robert Mathis's name on the broadcast. Didn't even hear it. Feeney got to you once. You've run the ball effectively. Is this the Logan Mankins effect? Is he giving this offensive line a boost, or are they just collectively coming together as a group?
Well, I mean, the offensive line is always collective. I mean, there's no doubt Logan adds a hell of a lot to that collective, into that unit as a group. I mean, because he's so powerful, he's so strong, he's so athletic.
Mean.
He's so tough. Yeah, he's so mean. I mean, he's everything you look for in an offensive lineman. I mean, he's a John Hanna type player. So. You know, he's just mean, he's tough, he sets the tone for that group. And then you add him standing next to Matt Light, and there's not a better guard-tackle tandem in the league. You have Cope in there, who's, you know, a hell of a football player. Connolly, who's really shown what he's capable of. And then Sebastian, who's a young player who's, you know, really doing some great things. So, you know, you're right. It's a they're playing great football. I mean, it's such a difference when you can run the ball like we did yesterday. And throw it, you know, on our terms. I mean, it really limits how effective those pass rushers can be. And I'd say that was very similar to what happened last week in Pittsburgh as well, in that we just continue to try to keep them off balance, and then they can really never get a cue on what you're doing.
And the tight ends, I assume you talk about Crumpler with us every week, but Gronkowski seems to be a hell of a blocker too. And we were just pointing out how little Aaron Hernandez played yesterday, and you know, had just the one catch, the touchdown. Is that a function of the Indianapolis defense and your need to have Gronkowski and Crumpler out there for blocking purposes?
Sure, and I think those guys, you know, for as explosive as a guy like Aaron is in the passing game, Algie is just as explosive as a run blocker. And he can still catch passes, and so is Rob. So, you know, you'd love to have Aaron out there, you know, but at the same time, then you're taking other guys off the field. So you just got to mix and match, and I think we're continuing to find ways to do that. Aaron is a, you know, he's a part of the plan every week, and because of what he can do out there for us, and you know, he doesn't get credit as a blocker, and he's a good blocker too. So all those guys have to play a part, just like Ben Jarvis and Danny Woodhead, Sammy as well. So everybody that's on the active roster is going to help us win. I think that's what we're trying to really accomplish this year. It's not, let's just fire the ball to Wes. You know, now we got, you know, we throw it to Dion, we throw it to Woody, we throw it to Tate, throw it to Gronk, throw it to Aaron. You know, whoever you're not covering, that's who we're getting the ball to.
That might have answered my next question, but I'll tell you this. Steve Young this week was asked to evaluate the Patriot offense now without Randy Moss versus then with Randy Moss. And he essentially said what is clear to him, Steve Young talking, that this is a tight end offense. Based on the fact that you only threw the tight end twice yesterday, one each, not Crumpler, would you agree with that terminology, Tom?
Well, I would say we there's probably more tight ends on the field than we've had in the past. No, but that's a, more of a function of our running game,
right?
You know, because those guys are such good run blockers. So if they're not going to stop the run, we're just going to keep running it. That's the idea. That's the offensive idea. When you can run the ball, you control the tempo of the game. You can control all the pressure that a defense is running because you can just hand the ball off and gain yards. So as long as we're running the ball. And keep in balance, I think that's the best way for us to play. And that means having guys like Rob and Algy on the field to be able to execute in the running game because of how, you know, how good they've proven to be. So, and then when you go past the ball, you know, now they become threats in the passing game as well.
Tom, I don't know if you specifically analyze and rate particular drives within the context of a game. I don't know if it's like a golf game where you say, oh, that day I shot 78, I did everything well. But in terms of rating that second drive, that 7 minute and 46 second drive, where absolutely everything seemed to go perfectly, 15 plays, 82 yards, 746. Is that about as good as a drive as this team can put together?
Yeah. Well, I think we didn't have any penalties yesterday. We had no turnovers. Mm. So I don't think we had any negative plays in the run game. We had one sack. So there was really one negative play. We had three touchdowns. We had three possessions in the first half, and we got three touchdowns. That was pretty good. In the second half, you know, we got stopped on a long yardage sack and, you know, should have had two more touchdowns. So five of our first six drives should have been touchdowns. We're right. We're executing, you know, pretty well. It just shows you, though, at the end of the game, if you don't convert third downs when it really counts, then, you know, a team like that's capable of coming back. So those 15 play drives certainly are important to take off time of the clock, control the tempo of the game, and ultimately put 7 points on the board. I said after the game I would love to have done that in the fourth quarter. So, that's where we're really going to be a big point emphasis this week.
You always say if defensive players had any brains, they'd be offensive players. If Taiwan Hagler had any hands, would he be a tight end or a receiver? And did you feel lucky when you hit him between the five and the six and got away with that?
Yeah, I was just a terrible read by me. I was just trying to jam it in there to Wes and, thought I was going to get him to move with Julian. And as I looked back to Wes, he didn't take it, and he just jumped right in front of it. So I was just, you're right. I'm glad he didn't catch that one. I'd have felt pretty awful. That's just the way the game is.
Yeah, I know. And Sanders makes a great catch, and Manning's the GOAT, and Hagler can't hold on to your ball, and you end up, like you say, no turnovers, no penalties. That was almost a big gaffe.
Yeah, sure was. It sure was. And, hopefully we don't make any more of those this year.
Hey, Tom, on the Welker touchdown that made it 7-0, do you know that the linebacker has his back turned to you and all you have to do is get it over his head? Or are you focusing, micro-focused on Wes and where he is on the field?
Well, I'm looking at Wes because of the matchup, and then once I saw Wes do what he did, I was just trying to make a throw where only he could catch it, and he made a hell of a catch, and a great run after catch too. That was something we had been talking about all week. That once you get the ball in the hands, make sure you're going forward and get those pads down because they really rally the ball. So he You know, I was locked in on West from the time the ball was snapped.
How'd you know he wasn't going to get help, the linebacker? I mean, obviously, linebacker on West is a mismatch, but you knew right off the bat that there would be no help, correct?
Well, in that particular coverage, there's no help.
Yeah.
And we weren't really sure how it was going to play out, but once West got up on the linebacker and the linebacker really tried to play him like he did, West went right around him and made a hell of a play. And, I mean, a hell of a way to start the game. We get an interception and then, get the ball in the end zone right away. It was a great way to start the day.
Tom, we've talked about this already this morning, and we asked Boomer Esiason about it in last hour, and this question would have been blasphemous a couple of months ago. But to what extent has Woodhead replaced Kevin Faulk in terms of all the things required of that guy in that position?
Well, I mean, nobody replaces Kevin Faulk. I mean, Kevin, from what you see as Kevin as a player, in terms of what he does for the team and his leadership and his role in practices, and what to me is the most underestimated thing about Kevin is his ability to perform under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most clutch player I've ever been around. I mean, right up there with Troy Brown. So Kevin, in the biggest games of Kevin's career, he's played his best games. So, that remains to be seen with Danny. And I have a hell of a lot of confidence in Danny. And he's a hell of a player. I mean, we're so fortunate to have him because of what he's been able to do for us. When we lost Kevin, I mean, that was a significant loss to our team. But, the way Woody's been playing, he's really taken that role and accepted it and done a great job with it. So, nobody can replace Kevin Faulk. He's one of a kind. But Woody's doing a hell of a job in the role that we're asking him to do because of what he can do both running and catching. And, he's making plays on special teams too. So, he's done a hell of a job.
I guess for a second here, we'll get to the best play that was not a touchdown. My nomination would be Woodhead in the second quarter. I believe it was 3rd and 3, and Woodhead made the second effort to get the 1st and goal at the 8. You got a better play than that wasn't a touchdown, Tom, that kept things going?
No, that was the one, too, I was thinking about because, they had kind of tricked me into, like they were blitzing, and mm-hmm. then they ended up not blitzing, and I kind of scrambled up in the pocket and saw Woody threw it about a yard short of the sticks, and, he made a hell of a play to get the first down. So when you play that team, you got to score touchdowns. You can't kick field goals.
Right.
And a play like that, where we can get 7 instead of 3 is huge at the end of the game. So, that ends up being a difference. I mean, 1 yard in the early in the second quarter, and that's the difference. So that was a hell of a play.
I understand what you say about Kevin Faulk and how nobody can replace him, how smart he was, how clutch he was. Why has it been easy to replace, say, Lawrence Maroney? Does Ben Jarvis Green Ellis have any great physical gifts that Lawrence didn't have, or is he just hitting the hole and carrying out the play the way it was designed to go? Or is it just the offensive line is opening holes that they weren't opening before recently?
I don't know about Lawrence as much, but in terms of what Benny and what he's been able to do, Benny has great physical tools for a running back in that he's got great feet, he's got great vision, so he sees the hole. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's happening there, so to make good decisions running the ball when things are happening as fast as they are, that's a hell of a skill to have as a back, rather than just running to the back of your offensive lineman or...
Right.
We always talk about decision-making as a player and, do you cut the ball back or do you not cut the ball back? And those are decisions that running backs have. And Benny makes the right decisions. So when you evaluate him on film after the game, the coach will say, yep, good read, Benny. Good cut. A run that should have gained 4, gained 4. A run that should have gained 12, gained 12. And Benny runs, he's a very powerful runner with a very low pad level. So he runs through arm tackles. He sets up his blocks.
So there's more smarts. There's more brains involved there. More smarts. More than just just the physical end of it.
No question. Where you got to, the play. Then you got to know the blocking scheme. So, you have a particular defensive alignment, And you've got to understand, okay, well, in this alignment, you know, this is what sometimes the defensive end will, you know, what we call spike inside to, you know, he's lined up on the outside of the tackle, then he spikes into the gap near the guard. And you got to bounce outside of that. And if they do that, you got to know that the outside linebacker is going to jump over the top of that and be there in the hole. So when you do that, then you know you got to cut it back tight off of the tackle's block. So all those things with each defensive front, with each pressure, you know, it takes a very smart, capable person to be able to do that. So that's why I think Benny's been such a great player back there for us, that he understands what the defense is doing. He understands his reads. You know, he's very well coached. He's been coached by, we have a great running back coach, Ivan Fears, who's been with our team for a long time. He's a hell of a coach, and he puts so much pressure on those guys in practice to always do the right thing. So that's why you really see it paying off with Danny and with Benny and obviously with Sammy. Hopefully we get Fred back soon too.
Tom, in our years of talking with you, if we've learned nothing else, we've learned that playing in the National Football League is much more complicated than anybody on the outside looking in can understand. Thus this question: is there a position in the National Football League where you can be stupid and succeed?
Defense.
Definitely, no matter what, maybe kicker. You know, that will show up. It will show up at some point. I mean, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be Albert Einstein back there. And actually, you don't want to be too smart to play. You don't want to overanalyze too many things.
Right.
So, if you have a hard time processing things, you know, you're always going to be a step behind, because guys like Peyton Manning, guys like Ed Reed, guys like Ray Lewis, you know, they recognize, they know the call, they know the responsibility. Then they see, you know, the offensive alignments, and then they read, you know, what the guard's doing and how heavy he is. Is he on his heels or on his hands? And they're looking at the back and looking where his eyes are looking. You know, then they're reading the snap of the ball and the presence of the offensive line coming toward them. I mean, all those things that, I mean, so many decisions they have to make on a down-by-down basis that really have been learned over decades in a guy like Ray Lewis's case. You know, those are all things that, you know, yeah, you may not be a chemical engineering major, but, you know, you got the ability to process things and make great decisions in a limited amount of time. So, you know, there's not many positions in the NFL where you can get away with it for very long. And I think that's what happens. You know, also guys, to me, who make bad decisions on the field also make bad decisions off the field. And they don't understand that what they need to do to contribute to a team over a long period of time. So, you know, you just got to, you know, a guy like Wes, who takes such good care of his body, who, you know, studies the film, who knows his plan, whose commitment is 100% toward the team and toward playing football at a high level. I mean, that's why Wes is a guy, the kind of guy that he is, because he can, you know, that shows up on the field too. A decision that Wes made there to run by that linebacker, you know, that's a hell of a play. And to process that in the span of, you know, 1.5 seconds, you know, is something that you can't teach.
Mm. Hey, Tom, talk about the short week of preparation and more than just the obvious of the compressed schedule. How does it work, and how is it more challenging because it is a compressed schedule? What do you do? How quickly do you have to do it?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that, so last night I got home and I got to work on the Lions. So, you know, it'd be like a Wednesday. Last night was like a Wednesday night of a normal week for us.
Hmm.
So for the first time, I'm looking at film typically a Sunday night after a game. You know, last night it's Wednesday night. You know, Monday I'll have watched all the games. Tuesday, you know, we'll talk to the offensive coaches about, you know, the game plan and so forth. Well, now it's Thursday morning of a normal game week. Today is, you know, in a normal week for us. And we haven't even put in the game plan. So it's today we'll go over all the first, second, third down stuff we're doing. We're going to go in this afternoon and get together as a team and talk about all the guys we're facing and the schemes they run. So it's definitely compressed. You know, physically, you know, we'll adjust. I mean, players have to adjust. I mean, the game plan, by the time the game's kicked off, we'll we'll be doing all the things that we want to do. You just won't have as much time to practice it. But, we've been playing football now since late July. So, if we miss one or two days of practice, I don't think that's going to kill us. It's just, we're going to have to really be sharp on Thursday. I play with a lot of awareness against a team that plays well at home, has a damn good defense. That's been in a lot of close games this season, and had a couple good teams beat, and just let them get away from at the end. So it's gonna be a fun game for us. Playing on Thanksgiving is always a great treat for us.
Tom, you've made it clear how film sessions work when Belichick stands up there and analyzes a particular play that didn't go well. The footage stops, it backs up, shows it again, corrects the errors. The guy who made the mistake obviously gets kind of called out. Does the opposite also hold true? And what I'm thinking about was Woodhead's 36-yard touchdown run. When you watch it the second time, you see Branch and Welker busting their ass to get out in front, clear the way, block into the end zone, and get Woodhead in there. Will Belichick stop that footage and back it up and point out what those two guys did right?
I believe me, after that run, I went over to Wes, and I was hugging Wes because I said, that was a hell of a block.
Yeah.
To escort him to the end zone like that, that was unbelievable. And pretty funny. It's funny. My first game that I ever started against, I think it was the Colts. It was the Colts. I started against the Colts in 2001. And after the game, Coach Belichick came in and gave game balls out. And Otis Smith had an interception return for a touchdown. And Ty Law had an interception return for a touchdown. So he gave Ty Law the ball, the game ball. So this one's for Ty. Ty, not for your interception return, but for the block that you made on Otis's interception return. Then he gave Otis a game ball, and he said, not for your interception return, it's for the block you gave on Ty's interception return. So, that's what it means to Coach Belichick when he sees guys like, Wes blocking 40 yards down the field.
Right.
And, that's what it takes to win. That's what winning football is all about, and that's why the outcomes of those close games lately have been going in our favor, because the toughness and determination of the guys that we have out there.
All right, Tom, we wrap it up now. Time for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Irving Oil. This year, give a gift they'll really like and use. The question is, what were you pissed at the end of the game? Who were you barking at, and what got under your skin?
I don't know.
Come on.
Well, I was just, the defensive line, they can't simulate a snap count at the end of the game, when you're kneeling on the ball.
Yep.
And the only thing that could have stopped us is an offensive penalty to stop the clock.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm in the middle of my snap count, and the defensive tackle is going, hut, hut, to try to get us to jump offside.
I see.
To me, the only thing that the ref should be listening for is that. They're doing it, and they can't do that. So
you were nicely pointing out to the officials that they weren't paying attention and doing their job.
I was just creating some awareness for the referees that what they were doing. Not that they care or listen to me,
cause right.
They really don't. But I don't know. It just gives me something to bitch at a little bit.
All right, Tom.
Which defensive lineman was it?
I don't remember.
Maybe it was Mathis. He just wanted to get his name in the paper,
No, it wasn't him.
It
was one of the inside guys.
All right, Tom. Good luck Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Tom Brady with Dennis and Callahan's.